It is Unsung Hero Day. I'm Kyle Robinson, being joined in studio with the legendary Art Jamieson right now. And Art has been, as you know, around the community for a very long time, involved in so many great organizations and fundraisers over the years. So, Art, thanks very much for joining us today.
Very, very honored to be asked, Kyle.
So let's get in right into it. What made you decide to get so involved in so many programs over the years? You know, we talked Easter Seals and the hospital and the fiddling community. You just seem to be part of everything.
Well, I don't think I'm really all that much different than the hundreds and thousands of others that are out there as well. And I call them the unsung. You don't hear of these people. My name sort of is, it's sort of, you're called on and asked, do you think you can do this? And, I think I'm invincible to start with, but look at, don't ask me to do it because I'll try it. Well, they've ever done it before or not. That's secondary. But, I think it goes back to, the culture of the Ottawa Valley, Kyle. I've always said that we're more of an island than we are a mainland here in the Ottawa Valley. We're different. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I think that goes back to the immigrants that come out. I think of Ireland. I think of Scotland. I think of the Kashubians, the German, the French and Dutch. And those people, when they came out, if things were good back home, they wouldn't be coming. And just imagine yourself being in a situation where you have to pack up with 1, 2, 3, 10, 15 kids and leave to go to a different country, different language, different everything. So you're the ones that you had to share back home in order to live. And that culture, I think, came with the people that settled the Ottawa Valley. And we've got such a colorful background, you know, and the 100 years that we had with the timber trade and the lumbering and that sort of thing, and how they meshed all of those nationalities. Well, they had the odd scrap here and there. The history books tell us that. But, you know, they were people that knew what hard times were, knew the value of shared, because what you have today, you may be looking for tomorrow to share. And I think that has gone down over the years. And I played in the band. I had my own orchestra for 35 years and got to know an awful lot of people. Our band played for over 1,000 weddings over 35 years. And many of those were second generation, a few of them third generation. You get to know a lot of people. And therefore, when you are fundraising, you know, you get to know recognized names. You know, if you name me 10 names and they sort of had a common thread to them, I can pretty near tell you where you're talking about. Is it Wilno? Is it Deganville? Is it, you know, just those names. Mount St. Patrick is all Irish up there. So, but anyway, it comes down to I've only been, all I am is just part of a small cog in a huge wheel that's been going around. And there's actually tens, hundreds of volunteers. As you know, you're involved with volunteer work as well. And the hospital here in Pembroke was one that, and all you got to do, Kyle, is just take a look at what is being accomplished by the volunteers. If every organization took out of whatever their organization the things that were accomplished because of volunteers working day and night, 7/24 out there. You know, some places, you just think of the Pembroke Hospital in itself, what the volunteers have raised over the years. And don't think that that isn't looked at by those that make the decisions as to what communities' money is going to be well spent. Because in many of those programs, it's either matching dollars or two for one, that sort of thing, you know. But there are programs that are set up. But volunteerism is something that I think we've all grown up with. And that's just us in the Valley. And I'm just so proud to be part and parcel of all of that. And I think of the hospital, of the thousands and thousands of dollars that have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some people have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars, individuals. And as one that calls when we've got a project going of some kind. I have people in various areas that said, look, call me when there's something that you think is really needed. I don't want my name mentioned. The anonymous calls that I know of in various areas out there that I've gotten to know these people, and I respect them. They don't want the, they are looking for nothing whatsoever from it. And that's a very valuable asset to any community, and this valley is made of hundreds of thousands of them.
So going back to then, I guess, some of those fundraisers, what are some of the things you've learned about local people other than their generosity and such like that over the years? Has there been maybe one person who kind of, you know, guided the way for you when you first started out and becoming a volunteer and such?
I can't say as I... I'm going to share a little experience. I was born in 1940. So I went through 6 weeks, I'll be 81 years old. And I'm telling you, my body is still 21. It just won't slow down, and I love every moment of it. But I remember my uncle came home in 1945, the Second World War. He was a prisoner of war in Hong Kong for 3 years, 9 months. And if you know something about history, the way that those people were in the Japanese prison camps, and he came back to live on the farm with us. Now, one of the things that happened, because of malnutrition, he was 90% blind. He weighed 96 pounds. He's a bigger man than I am. He was well over 200 pounds, big frame, 6'3". And the first time I saw him in a uniform, he put it on after he come home. And I thought, he just looked like a skeleton to me. But I remember him sitting down and saying how thankful we were for what we have. And he would be called on as a blind man to give talks on the very thing. And we grew up in that atmosphere of Uncle Alan living with us on the farm. And finally then David Weston from Weston Biscuits at that time, he hired an awful lot of those returned prisoners of war of Weston Biscuits. And it's something that, by the way, his son, Galen, just passed away here not all that long ago. And anyway, they were a wonderful family, but I think back of the things that he would say at that time, you know, if you can ever help somebody, get out and do it. And I remember him saying, you'll feel just as good about it as the person that's receiving whatever that might be. And I think it kind of grew up with that sort of thing. And if I ever get a chance to help in some way on it, I have an awful time saying no.
So on that note, again, you know, being, you know, Irish and being part of the fiddling and step dancing community over the years, can you tell us a little bit about that and your involvement over that in the past years?
Well, I'll tell you, 1975, I got a call from Tom LeClaire. Tom was living in Pembroke here, Renfrew boy, and I knew Tom, and he said, we're going to have a fiddle contest in Pembroke. And of course, at that time, Kyle, almost every little town, village, hamlet had a fiddle contest, or especially here in the valley. But across Ontario, there was literally hundreds of them, small ones, you know. The biggest one at that time was Shelburne, Ontario, and which is still going, by the way. But anyway, Tom said, there's three other guys and other friends of ours, which I knew all of them, Mr. Berrigan from over in Chichester, and Brian Adams, local boy here from Sheenborough, Jimmy Hickey, God bless him, gone from us now, but from Deep River, and Tom LeClaire. Tom phoned and he said, we're having a fiddle contest and you're going to MC it. I wasn't asked. I was never asked. That's all there was to it. And he said, this is what you're going to get paid. So I want to, you know, voluntary, you think of somebody volunteers. So I got a stipend at that time. And I think that went on for about 5 or 6 years. And then the committee, they rose a little bit. And it's been the same since for the last 35 years anyway, maybe 40. But that's how that all got started. And of course, being involved with music, it has meant so much to the city of Pembroke over the years. years. I remember the I think it was Better Business Bureau or whatever the committee was downtown. Somebody did a study, and with the trickle down of the money, you know, that they buy gas and then somebody else and that sort of thing. Jane Brophy told me that at the East End Mall, that the week of Fiddle Week was as big as her week before Christmas. And she said it is amazing because it was the great weekend. The kids all go back to school on Tuesday. It's the long weekend. And the Fiddle Park up there, you know, there was at one time there were over 1,500 trailers went in there. Well, they say figure a trailer is about three people a trailer. You're talking 4,500 people. That's like Deep River moving into Pembroke for a week. And it's just a booming. You look at the buses that they put on to go down street and that sort of thing. Now, it's not that size. It was actually too large, really. It was unmanageable almost. It's down now. That's a beautiful, manageable thing. That park is still just a buzzing spot there for a week. And, you know, I see the spin-offs and so many things to the village. And something I've always enjoyed was we put a show together and we go over to Miramichi Lodge and we put that show on. And those elderly people that someday I'll probably grow into that age as well, but not ready for it yet, but they remember those old fiddlers and those dancers and that, and you can see them and they're in their wheelchairs, but that toe is tapping down there. And you just think that what that does for the mind to bring back great memories like that. And these are all volunteers in the park that were there that have come from all over, and they're used to that back home, no matter where they come. But the Pembroke Fiddle Contest has been huge. The other one that has been huge was the Easter Seal Telethon that we started, and that was I was very honored to be asked to host that.
Well, thank you very much, Art. It has been a true pleasure speaking with you today, and we thank you very much for coming in. And it is part of our Unsung Hero package here on MyFM today. And again, we've been speaking with Art Jamieson, just a local legend in so many different ways, from, you know, as you mentioned, to Easter Seals, to the Fiddling and Step Dancing Competition, to, you know, the Pembroke Regional Hospital. It's just been a real honor to learn about you over the years since I've been here. I mean, I've only been in the Valley for about 10 years myself, along with my family, so it's. I really hope one day maybe I can follow in your footsteps as well. So thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome and honored to do it. One quick thing at the end, I want to say that about the award, I had the choice of having it being presented by the Governor General in Ottawa and a big thing, and I don't know what all, but when they mentioned I said, is there any other place? They said, yes, you can have it done locally. And our mayor at the time was Hal Johnson down in Whitewater. And I got in touch with Hal, and the rest is history. Hal looked after getting the thing down here. This is where it happened. This is where the presentation should have been. Thanks, Kyle.